This episode of TMS is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 20% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code MORNING9. Coming up on TMS, the infinite tongue of Miley Cyrus.
And that all led to all kinds of terrible rabbit holes.
Oh, man. Dude tried to shoot up a mall in Salt Lake City.
Popular science just got less popular with comment trolls.
Fox wants to make Batman for TV.
Apple thinks you got the raw deal with Breaking Bad.
Bill Nye's now dancing with the nurses.
Recommendals.
Tom's tech time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Ah, a box of matches and a pack of old gold cigarettes. That's all you need, my friend. And you're enjoying the smoothest, mildest, tastiest cigarette ever created. A treat instead of a treatment. That's old gold cigarettes. Made by tobacco men, not medicine men. To give you the cigarette that treats you better in every way. Because in every way, it's a better cigarette. Good, huh? Yes, for a treat instead of a treatment. Get a pack or get a carton of old gold cigarettes. Right now, this is Dennis James reminding you to keep smoking old gold cigarettes.
So that the meat hangs over the bun.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
You can't spell The Morning Stream without remonstrating. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's Wednesday's Morning Stream. Can't believe we've already done two of these. Weird.
What, this week?
Yeah, it feels weird. Like, you know, we're talking about
2.5 years of these.
Well, that's I can't believe that either. But what I mean is, like, we're in the 480s or something, episodes.
Yeah.
And that seems crazy enough, but for some reason this week seems to have gone. We've talked about time speeding up a couple of days now. But it feels like it's just really speeding up for me. I don't know why. I don't know what's up. What's up, man? What's up?
What's up?
What's up, Brian? Yes.
We're 20 episodes away from 500. And I know we don't celebrate 100 and 200. I guess we did do something for 100, but
we haven't been
celebrating all the other 100 iterations.
No.
500, though, seems like...
We ought to do something, maybe.
Should be something, yeah.
I don't know what. What do you think we ought to do?
That's 5 weeks away if we do four episodes a week.
Yeah.
I don't know. What should we do?
We could have...
Let's do it live in Vegas.
Well, I wonder if it would land anywhere near our trip to Vegas. That'd be interesting.
Not the trip to Vegas, but maybe the trip to...
The BlizzCon trip.
BlizzCon.
Yeah, that's possible. Oh, I guarantee people wouldn't mind if we whipped one out.
No, it'll be a little bit later than that.
Will it be? Huh. My problem is, man, BlizzCon more and more, well, assuming this house stuff all cooperates, good Lord, stuff I could tell you that I won't.
I'm sure. Selling a house is no small feat. It's
not easy, man. And the thing is the inspection part where you have a dude come out. So the way it works is the sellers pay, and that's true of us for our house we're looking at, or the house we were contracted to get now. You hire a home inspector, and he goes over there, and with a fine-tooth comb or relatively fine-tooth comb, he looks at everything and says, oh, yeah, the roof looks good, and the water system's fine, and the heater's great, or these are the problems, a broken garage door, or whatever the thing is, right? And those guys are pretty normal. They just kind of carry around a clipboard and do their thing. Not the guy they hired to come here.
Really?
He was like CSI guy with black lights and infrared cameras. I'm not kidding either. Like, he literally had an infrared camera.
You got a hairline fracture in your baseboard right here.
And he's looking in the walls for, I don't know, raccoon babies. I don't know what he was looking for. Yeah. And it scared me. Although things turned out great and we had, really relatively little to worry about or look at. But I was shocked. Oh, and by the time he was done, he had a portable rig that let him print everything in color and put it in a 3-ring binder. So these people had this like full color documentation showing my house and all these weird infrared shots. Like, it looked like Sam Fisher was going to sneak up and shank me from behind. So weird, dude. I didn't expect any of that. I guess that's what you get when you pay for the guys who are like pros. I guess that's what you get now. But they didn't find any anything weird in the hotel room bed sheets or anything like that.
Right.
Hey, it's good to be back, guys. Morning stream time, a little bit after 8 a.m. Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters. And it is Wednesday, it's September 25th, 2013. I'm Scott, that's Brian, and we have a show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start right in with something.
We are going to do it for you here today.
So I found something. I have a great confession to give, but I'm going to give that a second before I tell you about this this website I found.
All right.
And I found it because my wife said last night, she's home, by the way, thank Zeus and all his minions. Kim is home. We're done with that thing she was doing.
And the cat is no longer worried about getting eaten.
No. And she's sitting there looking at Pinterest or something in bed on her iPad. And she says to me, why does Miley Cyrus's tongue always sticking out? She said it to me.
It's a good question. It's a very good question.
And she doesn't listen to the show. She hasn't seen the latest Rolling Stone cover where she's yet again sticking her tongue out naked in a pool, because that's how she rolls now.
Right. Sure.
Fine. Whatever. But the tongue bit, I don't quite understand. And we talked yesterday about how she had some kind of weird film, kind of strange business thing going on there on her tongue.
Right. Right.
So I found this website when I'm with Kim. I go, well, let's see how many examples of this we can find. And I ran into a site called MileyCyrus'sTongue.com.
Okay.
If you click on that link, Brian, the actual title of the page is Miley Cyrus's Infinite Tongue.
I'm dreading it, but I'm going to click it.
Click it anyway. And notice how far you can scroll on this page. Now, when you get to the bottom, notice what your scroll bar is doing.
It has to be Photoshopped.
It's more than that. I think it's programmed. If you go to the bottom of that page, drag your little bar to the bottom. Notice that your bar keeps rising. You see that? It never ends.
It never ends. Wow.
It is literally infinite, that tongue. Now, that's one thing. So at home, you can try this at home. Miley Cyrus tongue. That's how it's spelled. MileyCyrusTongue.com.
No possessive, no apostrophe S, nothing like that. No. Miley Cyrus tongue.
Yeah. The limits of internet domain names are in effect here. So you cannot put the apostrophe in there. So it's MileyCyrusTongue.com. And you too can witness the infinite tongue of Miley Cyrus. Now, that's not the part where I really want to focus here, or the thing that happened. I got to thinking about that tongue of hers, and I thought, well, yeah, but the other day, that one that she had on in concert or whatever, I thought, that didn't look healthy. That seemed wrong.
Right. Yeah, like the little white, little gray on there.
Yeah, and I was concerned. I was concerned for her well-being. So I looked up. I went to Wikipedia, and I looked up tongue disease. I just thought, well, let's see what's going on in the world of tongue disease. That was a horrible error on my part. I've made a terrible error by searching for the term tongue disease and then seeing the kinds of diseases people have with their tongues. For example, median rhomboid glossitis. Sorry. That's what she has, I think.
You're ready to diagnose her right now.
I am.
Right away.
Yeah, I'm going to. So it says glossitis. Some types of glossitis are caused by infections, i.e., median rhomboid glossitis, which is this one.
You're looking at that picture over there on the right side of the page.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, you see it in Scott. It's also referred to as strawberry tongue by some.
Oh God, they're
terrible. I know. Hairs.
I'm putting the link for you guys in the Tadpool. Click it at your own risk. And here's the funny thing: is I'm going to paste it and say that, but they won't hear me warn them for another 7 seconds. After they've clicked that link and gone, gah!
It's like our spoiler alert. Someone called us out in our emails today. We'll get to that later. Oral hairy leukakia. That's a good one.
Oral hairy leukakia.
This is caused by Epstein-Barr virus, so that virus causes this thing. Oral candidiasis. Risk factors, oral something, blah, blah, blah. Okay. If you have HIV, you can get that. So, sometimes the tongue is traumatized by mechanical, thermal, electrical, or chemical means. So that's a thing that can happen to people. There are inflammatory stuff. Neurological stuff can be caused. There's something called neoplastic. The sides or lateral parts of the undersurface of the tongue are at high risk for the development of oral cancer, mostly commonly called squamous cell carcinoma. I'm looking at a dude with it, and it makes me want to run in terror. Look at that. The dude down below that is the worst. So anyway, my point is, it's horrifying.
Can somebody please give me kitty cat pictures? Just a link to any any kitty cat picture.
But
and yes, I know I'm saying kitty cat like I'm a 12-year-old girl, but please. Just any kitty cat picture in the...
Yeah, just help Brian out. Help a guy out. But I am approaching this from the point of view of educating myself, because I haven't really, you know, sometimes when you don't have to deal with something yourself, you really don't know what's going on. And having known a couple of people with some form of mouth cancer, I kind of just had no true empathy for it, other than that I felt bad they were going through it, but I didn't understand what it was or what's the survival rate or what's the treatment or what's the deal. And it turns out a lot of oral cancers caught early are very treatable. So there you have it. I learned something from that. So if I get a weird bump on a tongue, you go and you get that looked at. You don't mess around. If you got a weird film on it, you party in the USA. All right.
Sorry, we may be hearing something about that a little bit later. Huh? Who was this? It was...
did you get a kitty?
I did. I got from Yagavos, I got kidbleach.info, which just is constantly cycling pictures of cats and dogs and cuteness.
None of them with mouth tumors. They're fine.
None of them with mouth tumors.
Good.
Thank you.
Good, good, good. All right. So that's what I did. Now, I got to tell you the big confession of the day. I'm doing a confession today, folks.
The naked truth about a Sandy hamburger.
Before the show, you brought up the Farrelly brothers directing the new Dumb and Dumber 2 movie.
Yes, right.
With Jim Carrey and Emmy Award winner Jeff Daniels, who just won his Emmy for Best Actor.
For The Newsroom, yes.
Yeah, back in that dumb hairdo and that stupid jacket, ready to roll for Dumb and Dumber 2. And it's spelled 2 like also. And we were concerned that the Farrelly brothers weren't involved. Turns out they are. By the way, do you have a favorite Farrelly brothers movie? Is this it?
I think it would be Dumb and Dumber. Yeah, because I don't think anything has really captured the magic.
How do you feel about Kingpin? How do you feel about Kingpin?
Kingpin, if it's not, it would be up there. It would be probably my second favorite.
That one's
especially
pretty good.
It's got one of my favorite lines, which is Chris Elliott doing his... proposition, his $1 million proposition. And he says, you know, he's playing at a craps table and he turns and says, yo, top, like to the cocktail waitress going by, yo, top heavy, a tipperillo and a sake and soda, s'il vous plaît.
It also has, that's great, because that's a good one. One of my favorite sight gags in all movies is in that movie where freaking Woody Harrelson's got his rubber hand and he's in the Amish house and he's trying to pet their dog. And the dog grabs his hand, his rubber hand, and is pulling on it, and he's yanking real hard. And when the dog finally lets go, that hand whips up and smacks him in the face. It is one of the funniest sight gags ever caught on film. Perfect timing, great sound effect, the family's reaction.
I forgot how much I love that movie. Maybe that might have to go on the movie list.
Yeah,
movie list.
I think
so. He loved, by the way, what did we watch last week, Raising Arizona.
Oh, of course he did.
He won't admit that he liked it a lot, but I looked over, you know, every once in a while during the film and he's cracking up. And
why not admitting? Maintain, is he sees it as too old or something?
He's got to maintain that 16-year-old cool. Like, who's all right?
Yeah, I hate the 16-year-old cool.
I know.
Not a fan of it.
Girls don't have to do that. No. You know, you got the daughters. Nick probably won't do it either just because.
Oh, he's doing it already.
Is he really?
Yeah, a little bit. There's just a little bit in him where you're like, something's genuinely funny and you're like, Nick, come on, dude, you know that's funny. And he just wants to be contrary to laugh. He doesn't want to laugh at something I'm laughing at all the time.
Right.
Even though I see him smirking and trying to hide it. Kids think their parents are dumb. And I know some parents are dumb. Brian Abbott and I aren't dumb.
We're not dumb.
We know what's going on.
Yeah.
We know we're not stupid. So quit pretending we are. My parents were a little dumb. Just a little bit dumb. I got away with a bunch of stuff that, you know, they were too dumb to notice. I notice everything.
And there is a trick at parenting to where you kind of play dumb a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like there are times when you want to kind of, you know, you don't want to get overly involved. You also want to kind of let them figure something out for themselves.
Right.
And so you kind of play dumb a little bit
just to milk it along a little bit. See how far we can go. Yeah.
Right.
I'm with you there. But again, proof that we are truly not dumb. So, children of Brian Abbott and Scott Johnson, who total 4, right. Don't pretend we're dumb because we're not.
Exactly.
Okay, moving on. What was my point? So we were talking about the Farrelly brothers, and we like I like brother combos, and you brought up the Wachowskis.
Well, we both brought up the Wachowskis, saying that which of the Farrelly brothers is the one that got the sex change.
Right, a little joke, right? A little joke. Yes. So then it got me to thinking about the Wachowskis and something I had just seen documentary called Side by Side, hosted and narrated by Keanu Reeves, directed by some other dude, but narrated by him and produced by him, and was awesome, by the way. It was freaking fascinating. If you're interested in at all in the technology of filmmaking and the history of it all the way up to current day, and you want to see a bunch of really famous actors slash mostly directors and directors of photography and these kind of people, you want to see them talk about that and tear it apart and look at those seminal moments when something big changed in movie technology, it is rad documentary. It's really good. Very technical, but if you're cool with that, if you like technology and, you know, gadgetry and film, you'll flip out. It's awesome. Anyway, cool. Point is, I did like how the way it was edited. Here's Keanu Reeves talking to Martin Scorsese, and he's got long hair like Bill and Ted style.
Yeah.
And then the very next scene, he's talking to Lars von Trier or somebody, and his shaved head.
So this is like in between a couple of, like a project is right around this time.
Must be. Something like that. Anyway, it was really good, and I found it fascinating. But the point is, they had the Wachowskis on there, and they were talking to him about, you know, digital versus analog film or chemical photo film or whatever, and the differences between them. And they got Wachowski brother sitting there, and they have the now Wachowski sister, who used to be a dude who's now, who's now identified as a female, which is great, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Rocking the whole bright red fuchsia.
Yeah, crazy hair.
Lilu Dallas hair, yeah.
Here's the problem. Not a problem, but I think it's interesting that I'm not a gay man, all right? Mm-hmm. I'm as heterosexual as the next guy who is also heterosexual. I like the ladies. Always have. Still do. Mm-hmm. Happily married heterosexual male.
Sure.
I think that she, the Wachowski girl.
Yeah, Lana.
Is kind of cute. Kind of attractive. Now, I don't know. It's not so much like I'm not saying, oh, this is a thing I'm ashamed of and that's why I'm confessing it. I'm not. I just think it's interesting that I am normally not like, look, if you put The Rock in a wig and a dress and he went all drag, and I wouldn't go, wow, that's attractive. I didn't see anything in Tu Wan Fu with Love from whatever.
Sure,
was that dumb movie? Whatever it was. I didn't see anybody in that and went, oh, wow, Patrick Swayze in a dress. That's so freaking hot. Like, my proclivities are exclusively to women when it comes to that kind of attractiveness. It's easy to see a good-looking like male model and go, oh, he's a good-looking dude. That's not what I mean, though. Mm-hmm. She is attractive. But I know in there is, dude, what did the Matrix? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I just thought it was interesting. It's interesting to see that there are some people who probably... Well, I know there's no probably about it. There are people who probably, when they were born, either could have gone one way or the other, or should have gone the other way. And for one little chromosome being off by 2 inches or however it works, they weren't. And so
microns.
I couldn't be happier about them finding who they really are. Right. But I'm not used to looking at them and going, oh, she's kind of cute.
Oh, there's certainly nothing wrong with saying, oh, yeah, you know, he makes a very attractive woman, or she is now a very attractive woman, or whatever,
right,
whatever the best way of phrasing that is.
Yeah.
I found actually a pretty good picture. I put it in the tadpole there, but, and then right before that is a really bad picture.
But she's cute. She's kind of got a nice, I don't know. I could sit and have a conversation in a coffee shop with her.
Right. Right.
And talk about, you know, bullet time or whatever.
And it's a far cry from saying, oh, you know, that is a woman I would like to take out and
make out with. And
right, exactly. Yes, I mean, there's,
sure,
you know,
kind of perfectly, man I am. Right, right, right.
Perfectly okay to say that.
Well, no, I see people like, I mean, this not to get, this isn't, I mean, I don't mean this to be weird, but you see somebody like a mutual friend of ours, let's say Veronica, and you say, oh, she's very attractive. That doesn't mean I want to go have sex with Veronica.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just means I think she's awesome in lots of ways, but she's also very attractive. It's okay to say that about people.
Yeah.
I've had people say that about me in better years. So I understand it.
Back when I was in my prime.
Right. But what I'm trying to get at is, here's the bottom line question for me is this. She's very attractive, but I know that, I think anyway, I'm not sure how far this is. I don't know how far that she's taken it. Lana Wachowski.
Sure.
But do you think there's still wiener there, or is there no wiener left?
No, I'm guessing there's no wiener, because that's what a... transgender operation.
Isn't it like in, sometimes you can be at stages, right? Like you got.
Yes, that's true. Right. That's true.
I think, I don't know what stage she's at.
But I think once you say you've had the operation, you go from being a. Well, now what's the term if they just dress up as a woman?
That's
not transsexual, right?
No, there's a word for that one. Transvestite.
Transvestite, yes,
right,
thank you.
Right. Who knows? I don't know.
Should have pulled up my my Tim Curry Rocky Horror Picture Show memories here for that one.
I mean, you and I, and you know, none of us are experts on this, obviously. But I just, at a very basic level, approaching this from a very non, I have no discrimination one direction or the other. I just think it's interesting, and the whole idea is interesting to me. And those last two Matrix sequels were terrible. And that's what I've learned the most from the whole thing is don't make Matrix sequels. All right, moving on.
Now, what is obviously The Matrix would be your favorite Wachowski film.
Yeah, easily. Although I really like V for Vendetta, although I think they just produced, right? They didn't
direct.
That's
a screenplay. They did.
No, I thought they...
I think they may have produced it as well, but...
you're probably right.
Larry produced it and Lana... Oh, I'm sorry, no, Larry is Lana.
Or was.
Larry produced it, and then they together wrote the screenplay.
Oh, all right. Okay.
I recommend you check out Cloud Atlas. I'd be curious to see what you think about, because that was, you know, a good definition of whether or not I like a movie is how much time I spend afterwards thinking about it.
Yeah.
Whether or not it was a quality film, if it evokes enough thought afterwards, it's like, all right, okay, now I'm kind of wrapping my head around this. That one did a lot of, you know, I had a lot of thoughts about it afterwards, as opposed to The Tree of Life, which is like, I can't wait for this to be over so I can pretend I've never seen it.
Wait, what was Tree of Life? Remind me.
Tree of Life was the...
Was that the Hugh Jackman thing?
No.
No.
It was the, was it Brad Pitt? Brad Pitt was in, it was one of the Academy Awards.
Oh, right.
Oscar nominees last year. And it's just this
thin blue
Terrence Malick.
Terrence Malick.
Was like a complete and total, like,
up its own butt.
Vanity project where it's just, you know, give me 2 hours and I'll just let my mind wander and put it on film.
Yeah. No, I know the type. I understand it. Well, I put a picture in the chat room. You should click on. It's a huge link. I just pasted. Jeez, the Google. Could you shorten your links a little? Anyway.
is this another good picture?
It's a Wachowski picture, and it's him before and after. And I've noticed
a trend. Much better looking as a woman.
Very much so. But also, I've noticed in every picture back when he was just Larry, he didn't look
smile.
He never looked happy.
Yeah.
Every picture is Lana, happy as a pig in poo. So good for him is all I'm saying. You got to find out who you are, man, and be what you want to be. Don't let discriminatory buttholes get in your way, because there are plenty of them out there. Now, the brother, the other brother, he looks like you.
Does he really?
Look at that guy.
Andy, I didn't find a picture of that. Was it Andy Wachowski?
Yeah, Andy. Is that one you sent? Is him with the? That's him standing there with the ball.
Oh, I thought the other guy was Andy.
No, the other guy's producer guy, man. Tom Teichwer or whatever his name is.
Okay.
Yeah,
He looks like Uncle Fester is who he looks like.
It looks a little like Hank.
He's got a little Uncle Fester wanting to get out.
A little Hank Schrader going on there.
Now, we had a confession. Speaking of confessions, your confession about Lana Wachowski.
Yeah.
Iceworm.
Yeah.
TMS intern extraordinaire Iceworm confessed that he saw Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
No,
whatever it was.
I think it's just the Crystal Skull, isn't it?
Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
I think so.
He saw it the day it came out. Not once.
Ooh.
Not twice.
Ooh.
But three times. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Why would you do that to yourself? I mean, I mean, I make myself sneeze sometimes on purpose, but I don't
saw
go
it at noon.
Yeah.
And then went back at both 5 and 8 and saw it a second and third time.
Well, that means he liked it then. He must have.
Or you pre-bought the tickets and you just didn't want to see him go to waste.
Oh.
Maybe I missed something. Maybe let me watch it again. Maybe there's something I missed in here that'll make it a good movie.
No, he's still in a fridge. Stupid. Let's see. Flying monkeys.
Still Shia LaBeouf. Still in this.
This is still poo. Okay.
he was looking for the frog pants Easter egg is what Cleo says. Well played, Cleo.
Nicely done.
Speaking of movies, yes. I'm seeing a movie tonight.
Oh, what's that?
I'm going to go see Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original Gene Wilder business.
And when the car was coming! That one?
I have no intention of stopping!
Stopping! I love that scene. That's great. What is this for?
This is going to be at the Alamo Draft House, which is so cool that we have those here now. We got a couple of... we got one here in Littleton. And they're doing this thing, a special event, where it's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And, you know, this is one of these places where they serve food and drinks and liquor and stuff while you're watching the movie.
Yeah.
And in addition to the food, they're also going to have, like, Wonka treats, like candy bars and whatnot, and everlasting gobstoppers and stuff like that. And we're seeing it with the actors who played Mike TV, Violet Beauregard, because she's apparently a local. She's a Denver local. And Veruca Salt.
Oh, my gosh. Not the band, the girl.
Not the band, the girl.
Wow. Yes. This is great. So you're going to get to meet them and have them sign stuff?
Who knows? I don't know what they're doing as far as any of the interaction post-film, but if I can get a photo with the three of them, I'm going to get a photo with the three of them
that
for sure.
That is awesome. I'm totally stoked. You're going to have to report on this in full tomorrow.
I will. Yes, absolutely.
Thursday is How Did Willy Wonka Go Day here on the morning stream. Right. So join us then, won't you?
Exactly.
Time to call Daryl because it's what we do.
That's what we do.
It's what we do. All right, Daryl, where are you at, buddy? Hold on. Here's your theme. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Be a better geek. Sign up for the recently launched geekimprovement.com to discover and keep track of things you geek out about. Catalog books, movies, and video games you own. Search for things by geek type and add items to your to-do and wish lists. Geekimprovement.com. Log in. Geek out.
Sounds good to me. Daryl, are you there?
Yeah.
How you doing, man? You sound a little more chipper than yesterday.
It's better than being in a chipper.
Ah, that's true. Just ask Steve Buscemi, who prior to being in the chipper was shot in the face. Daryl, do you have...
How old?
Yes.
Huh?
What? Go ahead. What?
How old are those Willy Wonka kids? They're about 80 now?
Oh, they got to be 50s, 60s.
That's a really good question. I would guess, in their in their 60s at least.
We think they're in their 60s!
They don't show any signs that they are slowing. Because the movie came out in 1971, and they were about, I can tell you here. Here we go. Veruca Salt, Julie Don Cole, was born in 1957, so that would make her 56,
yep,
by my count.
Yep. That all sounds right, about so right. I was 2 years 50s. Old when that movie came out, so or a year old or something, year and a half old.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, good. There you go. It's all the questions you get, Daryl. You've burned your one question, so don't ask anymore. Hey, it's Daryl Skills. He is the Trek nerd, comes on the show, answers trivia questions about Star Trek, because we love Star Trek around here, and we don't care if you're sick of it. We're still doing it. We're still doing it, everybody. We don't care. Even if Daryl gets sick of it, he's still doing it. All right? Okay. So back off. Here's your hard trivia question for today. It is the Next Generation episode, Rascals, that is in question. Several Enterprise crew members get turned into children on this episode. Remember this? It's the worst thing ever. It's the one where Picard's like a kid and has an accent. Ugh. Makes me want to shoot myself. They are only children in appearance. They still have their knowledge and memories of their adult counterparts. Which character listed was not turned into a child on this episode? So who was not? A, Ensign Ro Laren, who, by the way, I saw in the great Resurrection Ship episodes of BSG last night.
Oh, Battlestar Galactica, yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh, so good. The Pegasus...
yes, Captain.
She was not Captain, she was a Admiral, and so she had better rank than him for a while, and then he rebelled, right. And freaking, there's some rough business in that I forgot about. Anyway, great episodes, those episodes. Anyway, all right, so who is it? A, Ro Laren. B, Keiko O'Brien, Klinger's wife. You might be familiar. C, Geordi LaForge, or D, Guinan. So Ensign Ro, Keiko, Geordi LaForge, or Guinan.
Yeah. I can remember Guinan's hat, and I can remember...
Oh, Rover, yeah, right. Kids wearing their... Right. Oh, my God.
It was pretty bad. Episode. It was a really bad episode. I understand what they were trying to do. I did not like it at all. Do you remember at the end how they were like, oh, now let's play together. Let's learn how to be children again before we get turned back into our adult selves.
Right. Yes, not only are we regressed, but this same ability has also shrunk our clothes down to the appropriate size.
Our stupid hats. Yeah.
Right.
Our dumb earrings. Yeah, it's great. All right, before you answer, because I think you know what it is. I don't know if you do or not, but I think I would. We're going to do this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Daryl, you take a pick between the whole wheat pineapple, or sorry, whole wheat apple cinnamon fig bar or the whole wheat raspberry fig bar. It's your choice.
I think I will choose the apple cinnamon.
All right. We test good food choice on this show, by the way, if you want
secretly
to send.
Secretly, that's the one I was hoping.
If you want to send your weird regional delights, you can. Send us an email to themorningstream@gmail.com and we'll get you an address and you can send it. Mm-hmm. Oh, they look like Fig Newtons. Wait, did you say apple?
I said apple cinnamon, yeah.
Okay, good, because I wasn't paying attention. I opened that one. They look like big, gnarly versions of those super processed Fig Newtons. These will tear you up. You got to be careful with eating these. You don't eat too many. You'll be shiting all week.
Oops, and there goes Nibbler. Speaking of, ironically, I just knocked Nibbler off as I was holding up my Fig Newton.
Careful, he has very dense poo.
He does.
Oh, these are good.
It doesn't smell that great.
No, but it tastes good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Here's my only problem with Fig Newtons of any kind, all right? Or Fig Bars or whatever you want to call them.
I'm guessing. I can guess.
You can guess. What do you think it is? It's universal. It's not just this.
Yes, it's Fig Grit.
Yes! It's the Fig Grit. It's like eating a little bit of sand. You know what I mean?
Or as they called it in Game of Thrones, Figrit.
Mm. Hey, by the way, all you have to ever do to my wife, if you ever want to really get her, is you just say, oh, I think there was sand in this. Whatever it is you're eating. Doesn't matter what. She doesn't have to be eating. Just say it. And she won't be able to put her teeth together for the next 24 hours. She can't deal with it. She can't do it. She can't handle sand.
I'm so doing that next time I see
you. When you see Kim go, oh, man, this granola bar I just had, I think it had sand in it. And she will then just be slack-jawed for 24 hours. She won't she won't put her teeth together for fear of doing it. It's her. She has very few weaknesses. Her Death Star is pretty good. But if Luke needs to get two torpedoes in, he's got to go for that vent that says
sand-eating. Sand mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
So is she going to the beach match?
No, she doesn't. And when she did... She was terrified that she was always going to get sand in her mouth. I have a feeling.
She wore one of those doctor's masks over her face.
And she lived near the beach, too, where she lived in Mississippi. So I feel like something probably happened, you know? Like when she was a kid, somebody kicked dirt in her mouth or something weird like that because she really, really hates it. And she gets so mad at me for bringing it up. So beware, you know, be wary that she may punch you in the arm hard. But
well, she may punch you in the arm for letting me know about it.
Ah, good point. Shifting the blame.
Is she going to Anaheim?
Yeah, she'll be there.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. She loves this stuff, so she's stoked to go.
Very cool.
Okay. Doge? What am I doing? Oh, yeah. Question. Oh, no. Oh, food. Yeah. That was really good, by the way. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I'm eating the
Vegas,
other one
man.
Right now.
Yeah, they're good.
Yummy. What?
The raspberry ones. I didn't choose raspberry because of kind of the same reason. I can't stand the seeds in raspberry.
Grit. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Raspberry grit. Nicely done. When I was in probably... 7th grade, we went on a trip to Lake Powell, which is this amazing place in southern Utah. Well, southeastern Utah. In fact, there's a chunk of Arizona and I think a piece of Denver in it. Or not Denver, a piece of Colorado. No, that wouldn't work. That's too north. I don't know. Whatever. It's a beautiful thing. Red rock everywhere. Big blue lake. It's just amazing. And if you've never been there, you should go. So, we're down there. I'm 12 years old and we're at a family hoo-ha around a campfire or whatever. And one of my cousins comes over to me and without me knowing that he's coming, he says, hey, Scott. And I remember turning my head to the left and right then he scoops up a big handful of beach sand and throws it at my face as hard as he can. I happen to have mouth open breathing in at the time. And I got a mouthful and throat full of sand. Just couldn't be more full of sand. And I was like hacking and horking all over the beach trying to get that stuff out of there. And I swear I still had gritty sand between my teeth for like a month or two after that. And you'd think I would now have a fear of that, but it doesn't bother me that much. It more just pisses me off. Like if there's a little piece of sand or an eggshell in something and I hit it, oh, I just go, damn it, this is the worst. Why is it? I just get mad, but it doesn't freak me out. It doesn't make me paranoid. And I'll just pick it out and keep eating. All right, Daryl.
By the way, people in the Tadpool are pointing out that you missed an opportunity for to play the Sandy Hamburger.
Oh, that's a good point. I forgot all about that. There is some truth about that.
The naked truth naked about truth. A Sandy Hamburger.
Ugh, gross. That's a brand. What a terrible brand name for your burger.
Exactly, yeah.
Daryl, let's get some birthdays out of the way. Who's celebrating today?
Oh, that would be Anson Williams, who played Potsy on Happy Days. He's 64 today.
Okay.
And also, he directed 2 episodes of Deep Space Nine and 4 episodes of Voyager.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Anson Williams. We're going to take a look at him, see how he's looking these days. Give me some photos here. Here we go. Anson Williams. He looks great for 65.
Hmm.
He really does.
64.
64, yeah. He looks great. Yeah. That's a guy who has aged nicely.
He looks just like he did, too.
Yeah, that's just Potsy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for him, dude. That's awesome. And what
Pop
a cool...
your nose with a rubber hose, Potsy. Sit on it.
Was he there in Hawaii when Vafons jumped the shark in his jacket? I think he was.
I'm sure he was, yeah. By the way, Paris Themon, who I mentioned earlier, played Mike TV. He was also on Voyager, played Fawning Fan in the episode Virtuoso.
Wow. Perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
Can't lose. Daryl, back to your question. Ensign Roe, Keiko, Geordi, or Guinan, who was the kid not there?
Okay. I remember Roe Laren's downsized nose.
Okay.
I remember...
And that mole, that damn Guinan. Mole she has. I just want to reach out and grab that mole and pull it off.
It's what makes her unique.
No, she needs to cut. It's bad. In this BSG episode, that thing looks like it's full of blood and pus. It's this horrible looking mole. It's really bad. It's got to come off. I think it's off in the. I think she did take it off now. I don't think she had it in that True Blood thing she was in.
No, she was in the not the Following. What's the Rosie Larson one? The Killing.
Oh, she's in that too.
Yeah,
she was in True Blood. She was a shape-shifting monkey or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, she's a tree woman, but that was like tree woman. 4 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was a while ago. Yeah, I don't remember. But I just remember that thing.
I'm going to see if Michelle Forbes' mole.
Yeah.
Maybe it has...
it has its own IMDb listing.
Its own webpage.
Yeah, its own IMDb listing. It has all the credits that the mole has. It's done some amazing acting work. That thing is a beast. Anyway, sorry. What are we doing? Oh, yeah, yeah. So you were talking. You were deliberating. Keep going.
Yes, okay. So Rose knows.
Yeah.
I know that rhyme.
Rose knows.
And Guinan's hat. I remember that being too big.
Okay.
Or actually, it was fitting when it should have been too big. Mm. This is the thing.
Yeah.
But I don't remember Geordi's visor giving me that thought. So I think I'm going to have to say Geordi.
Okay. Geordi's visor, you say. By the way, looking at all these photos, there are photos without it, and there are photos with it.
Hmm.
So I don't know. But in some of them, she looks younger. Some of them, she looks older. I have no idea what to think here. There's a picture of her. Hold on.
Photoshop.
I wonder, though.
So here's 2013 shots.
There's one. No, it's just... Seriously, it's a $20 copay. Just go in there. Talk to your doctor. It'd be general practitioner, man. He's got a little freaking thing, and he'll burn it off in 2 seconds. It won't even hurt. Ugh. All right. I don't know why. I don't like face moles. I have a few of my own. I got this thing on my back over here that I think pretty much is like a brother that never developed, like my twin. Like something happened in the womb, and it just
that
came out as a mole.
That escalated quickly.
All right. Daryl? You say Geordi LaForge. Let's see if you are correct.
Congratulations!
Yay.
You're a winner!
Marking a first this week, Daryl got it correct. It is Geordi LaForge.
Yay.
Geordi did not get turned into a child in this episode. Some Ferengi take over the Enterprise. The children are put into one of the schoolrooms. Picard tells one of the Ferengi that Riker is his father. Here's a clip of Kid Picard and Riker trying to regain control of the ship. This is the worst. Here you go.
So, son, how are you?
I'm okay.
And how are your friends, Keiko and Guinan and Ro?
They're okay, too. But...
what's wrong?
Well, we don't have anything to do. None of the games are working.
I know the Ferengi made Daddy turn off the main computer.
Well, can't you just turn on the kids' computer in schoolroom 8? We just want to play a few games.
I don't know if they'll let me, Jean-Luc, but I will ask.
Thanks, number one. He's my number one dad.
Oh, shite. Listen.
Oh, my God.
Listen, this is the worst part of that clip. Is that...
this is my number one dad.
The kid, first of all, that's young Picard. Young Picard probably got beat up a lot, number one.
Right.
Number two.
Yeah, Picard sounds a little bit like Mike Myers' Simon.
Yep.
Cheeky monkey.
Totally.
And a little girl.
Very well done. Also, I think that he's got the wrong accent. I don't think that's Picard's accent. That's a different.
Yeah I don't think so either.
I don't live there, but that's my guess.
Any British accent. Yeah, you kid, you'll do. All right, can you do British? Great. Step over here.
Come over here, you pasty white little
weirdo. Little girl, you're black. All right, you'll be Guinan. Any Asians? Okay, you'll be Keiko.
Where's that kid now? Anyone come look him up. Someone find him. All right, Daryl, good job. Way to go. He wins all the time. Even wins on Twitter. That's where you can follow him. The Trek Nerd on Twitter. He is also part of This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Okay, Daryl, give us a quiz about minerals or Star Trek aliens. Go.
Oh, but before that, I'm going to give you something for your collection.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Horde side.
Oh, nice. Ice warm. Your job is nice. Clear. You have one job.
Okay.
Do it.
Anyway.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Here's your word. Right. Rondorite.
Rondorite?
Rondorite?
Rondorite.
Alien.
Right or Reich?
R-I-T-E.
Wanda Wright.
Rhonda with an R, right?
Rhonda.
R-A, it's actually spelled kind of weird. R-H-A-A-N-D-A-R-I-T-E.
All right. Did you say alien, Brian?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm sticking with alien. I'll with go, the double A. Yeah.
Okay, I'll go mineral on this one.
It's an alien from TOS.
Oh, Brian.
Ooh.
You're a bastard.
Nice. The worm has turned.
Nicely done. Oh, goodness, it's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Geek Positive. Check out the iOS newsstand and get yourself a subscription to Geek Positive, a bi-weekly publication with the latest and greatest in geek culture. The first month is free, and all following months cost just $1.99. Subscribe now!
Perfect.
Check that out.
Yeah. So, some local news here.
Okay.
Beep, 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 beep.
Utah connection.
Yeah, big time, sadly. Man accused of planning a big shootout at local SLC shopping hotspot. So this is the City Creek area, City Creek Center Mall.
Oh,
brand new place
that
downtown.
The open air mall that we were...
There are two of them. So you may have been... I'm not sure which one you were at. I think you may have been at the Gateway.
We're definitely at the Gateway,
Awesome. Both those places are great. 42-year-old... Actually, I like the Gateway a lot better because they have more stuff for me, like video game stores and like cool sports stores and that kind of stuff.
But they actually have a creek going through the...
City Creek does. Yep.
Okay, then I've been to City Creek.
Oh, then that's the one you went to.
Yeah, the mall has a creek going through it.
The only good store in that whole place, and for me, is the Apple store. Everything else in there is Kim stuff. It's all clothes and bullshit.
Gotcha.
42-year-old Salt Lake City man. Salt Lake City man. What's his power?
You tell me okay. What his power is.
Salt Lake City man. Able to fend off rumors that he has multiple wives. Excelsior. All right. Let's see. Faces a terrorism threat charge. And by the way, Salt Lake City is kind of, if people want to know what the city's like compared to the rest of the state, it is quite literally like Austin, Texas. Or let's say Boulder, Colorado. It's not hippie and dippy and you know, hipstery or anything. Well, there's some of that, but it's like it goes against the grain of, generally speaking, the rest of the state in terms of culturally speaking. It's very city-ish and coffee shops everywhere and, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's
all
the,
that stuff.
It's the,
I can't think of other examples. Austin is definitely
Austin,
a good example.
Probably, yeah.
42-year-old Salt Lake City man faces a terrorism threat charge after police say he plotted a mass shooting at the City Creek Mall Center. Or Center Mall. Jail records show that Jack Harry Styles, Man, does that sound like a guy's going to shoot stuff or what?
Isn't that, that's one of the guys from One Direction.
Is it?
Isn't it?
Harry Styles. Yeah, you're right.
Isn't there a Harry Styles?
There is. There is a Harry Styles.
I don't know why I know that, but I know that.
I don't know either why you know that. He's the one that just was in that soccer match and got hit in the head real hard and then puked as he ran away.
Exactly, yes.
I think right, that was him.
The big poofy hair.
Yeah, that kid. Was booked into the Salt Lake City County Jail on Monday and remains there on $1 million bail. It's not clear whether he has an attorney or not. West Valley City Police report they were tipped off to the plans by a Salt Lake County hospital crisis worker who said Styles described detailed plans to, quote, kill as many people as possible on September 25th, which is the anniversary of his mother's death. And it goes on to say he was going to then go to, like, a movie theater and do the same thing. And then it's just crazy. So I'm all at once horrified and proud of our local law enforcement for figuring it out before anything weird happened. So good job on that.
For sure. Yeah, no kidding.
Not used to those sorts of things around here. Salt Lake City's not known for its mass shootings. Not that we should be, you know. Whatever. Yeah. We've had our moments. We certainly have had shootouts, but it's a really rare thing, especially in the city. And so, yeah. I'll tell you who scares me more than actual terrorists. Mm-hmm. Local idiots like this.
Yeah, right. I think that's universal too.
Mm-hmm.
The cold calculating killers. All right, they're scary.
Right.
But it's the goofballs with a vendetta and a M60 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Losers. PopSci, popular science magazine's website, PopSci.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has done something that I think I'm going to applaud. They have shut down their comment system.
Oh.
And this is why they say they've given a reason. And I would remind people who are all crying. There are people crying censorship about this.
Of course. Yeah.
Can I be the voice of reason and explain what censorship is? It's not this. So
right.
This would be saying that a website, which is a publication owned by some company who can do whatever they want. This would be saying that they're censoring people by shutting that down. Your tax dollars don't pay for this place. Mm-hmm. This is not the government. This is just a company. Okay. That's what it boils down to. So them crying censorship here would be like me saying to you, Brian, hey, come on into my house. And you say, okay. And you come in my house and I hope to have a good conversation with you. But instead, here's what you do. You run upstairs and you poop in my tub. You bite one of the legs off my dog. You urinate on my grandma.
Uh-huh.
And then you use one of my couch cushions to wipe your butt, and then you leave.
Okay.
And then I say, you know what?
So I'm Terpster visiting.
Yeah, just like, yeah. I should have used that as an example because that's easier to a shorter way of saying the same thing. And so then me saying to you, hey, you can't come in here anymore and do that. I'm not allowing that anymore. And you crying censorship. That's what that's like. That is not fair censorship. Yes. So I just want to put that out there. They say this, quote, a politically motivated decades-long war on expertise has eroded the popular consensus on a wide variety of scientifically validated topics. Everything from evolution to the origins of climate change is mistakenly up for grabs again. Scientific certainty is just just another thing for two people to debate on television. And because comment sections tend to be a grotesque reflection of the media culture surrounding them, the cynical work of undermining bedrock scientific doctrine is now being done beneath our own stories within a website devoted to championing science. And they go on to say, this is why we are not doing comments. This is a huge article. You should read it as to why they did it. They didn't do it lightly. I applaud it because it does. Like somebody on Twitter yesterday was saying, the problem with this is, and we had a very, you know what, we had the kind of exchange on Twitter that I wish more people would have in comments. The sad thing is that you don't. This guy was reasonable, down-to-earth dude, with a real concern, saying, well, this is a scientific publication making scientific claims and contributions, and now you've eliminated the scrutiny part of it, which science always needs to have the scrutiny angle. You have to be able to scrutinize it and flesh it out and prove it. And I agree with him. That's true. But that's not what has been happening. All you're getting is trolls and freaks and people who want to come in there and kick up dirt.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I say good for them. This also comes the same day that YouTube announced they're going to do a whole new comment system, which involves a much easier way to get rid of the crap and only have the good. And I'm all for that as well. I just think why would you let people come in and ruin things? Like, that's not that is not an inalienable right. Mm-hmm. Inalienable. Did I say that right?
Inalienable right.
See, it's a hard one. See?
Right. And what the hell does alien have to do with it?
I don't know. That's a good point. But anyway, I get passionate about this particular topic because there is a misconception online that if you are not allowed to blather your hooch all over somebody's webpage, that you are somehow being repressed. Mm-hmm. That is bunk. And to me, the ability to still hold science to a standard or to have a conflicting opinion about it, none of that goes away. You're not losing any of that. It still can happen all over the place. Just don't do it. Just don't poop it in my tub. We need to run a website here. So somebody may have an article.
Let you in my house. I'll happily meet you somewhere for coffee, but I'm not letting you into my house.
Sure. There are plenty. Look, there's no shortage of public forums to talk about anything you want. Mm-hmm. So go there and they'll let you do it. And if they suddenly don't, well, move on to the next one, because again, this isn't censorship. These are companies making decisions about their own businesses, and that's how that's supposed to go. And if that's bad for them, ultimately, if they get less readership because of it, well, then that's how those dice roll, and then that's on them, and that's fine. But that's a decision they can make, just like you can to say or not say something that is completely flame bait and waste everybody's time. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I'm with you.
High horse.
Have you ever left a comment on a YouTube video?
I have. never trolley.
Right, of course, yeah.
Replies to my own sometimes, but as far as like somebody else's, like if, I'm trying to think if there was one I could give you an example.
Like if Veronica Belmont or, you know, maybe a Twit video or something like that.
I think a friend of somebody, yeah, I think that's mostly where I've ever done it. Said, I really like this, nice job, or I may have done it once for an animation. Yeah, that's what it was. Somebody did some animation stuff and I left a comment and said, these are really, really great. You should be working in Hollywood kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I've never gone on there and gone, Obama can.
This looks gay.
Yeah. Which is kind of what it boils down to sometimes.
Yeah.
And big thanks, by the way. I say all this, but we really don't have this big of a problem on with Frog Pants stuff. We just don't. Like video comments on YouTube, even. Everyone's real civil and nice in there. So we have a cut above, I believe, in our community than most. And I don't mean to discriminate against everybody else, but I don't run into too many dicks. Let's put it that way. We're pretty dick-free zone here.
We're dickless here.
We're dickless here in the Frog Pants Studios.
Dickless.
Squarespace.com sponsoring the show. Hey, check them out, man. Squarespace.com. You want to build a website and you're thinking, I want to sell stuff. I make these. Let's say I make diamond-studded earrings, and I'm dying to let people get their hands on my awesome earrings. They're inexpensive. They're available. I can ship them to you, but I don't know how to make a website. Well, no problem. Squarespace.com has you covered, and they have all the kind of tools you need to build a nice little e-commerce solution for what you're selling. That's not all, though. There's plenty of other tools there to do any kind of site you want. If you want to simply blog, great. If you want to create a website where you just get to complain about Popular Science's decision all day long, you can do it.
You can turn on or turn off your own comments.
Yeah, do it at will. It's not a problem. And it's super easy to use. All the tools are there, and we're going to save you a little bit of money. Try the trial first, though. I recommend it. I don't want to sell you anything here on the show that you don't get to try out. Check it out first. Use it for free. See what you think. When that trial's over, if you decide to stick with it, and by the way, you never have to enter a credit card to do that trial. But if you decide to get it, use Morning 9. That's the numeral 9 at the end of the word morning. Morning 9, no space. Mm-hmm. And that'll save you 20% on whatever package you get. That's 20% off with our friends at Squarespace.com.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by
FilmSack.com, where bad movies have no idea what's coming. This week, 1984's Footloose. Jump back and subscribe today at FilmSack.com. I screwed that up.
No, it's good, though. It's a nice ad there. I liked it.
Yeah.
Fox is developing an original drama about Batman's home. They're re-entering the comic book biz. I think it's a bit of a play against the old S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, which I didn't see last night, so everyone shut up. I haven't seen it yet.
All right.
I'll see it today. Did you see it? You saw it.
I did see it. I'll just tell you.
Didn't you see it in advance or something?
No, I saw the first scene on the Xbox video.
Oh, that's what it was.
So it's like 2 minutes of the first. Well, it's like the 2-3 minute first scene. But yeah. I enjoyed it, and that's all I'll say about it.
Okay, I'm hearing good things all around.
You know, and you know pilots. You and Tom Merritt know pilots better than anybody else. Sure. So you know it's the show really doesn't start until the second episode, and you really see what the show is going to be about.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. I'm in. I'm all in.
Good.
Let's see. Dubbed Gotham. The project from Warner Brothers TV will explore the origin stories of Commissioner James Gordon and the villains that made the fictitious American city famous. Bruno Heller of The Mentalist will executive and produce. That's wrong.
Who's he going to execute?
Well, it says it's even wrong then. Bruno Heller will executive and produce.
That should be executive produce.
The 1 hour drama that is already receiving series commitment from Fox. The drama, which is the second DC concept. To go up for grabs this fall after the CW began developing a possible spinoff with The Flash, ignited a bidding war. The last time DC peddled a Gotham-inspired series with Birds of Prey in 2002, remember that? I remember that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't very good.
I remember that, yeah.
Took place in New Gotham City after Batman abandoned it. So did viewers after 13 episodes, so that was the end of that. let's see, Apple. I got an email from Apple.
Did you?
It was really weird. Before I heard the news, I got an email from Apple saying, hey, we're giving you the whole fifth season of Breaking Bad absolutely for free. And I went, what? What are you doing? What's going on? Well, turns out Apple's refunding fans of TV shows Breaking Bad. Like, if you bought it, they're giving you money back after a mix-up over the number of episodes in its final season. The confusion meant many people effectively paid twice for the final 16 episodes of the hugely popular show. This was because Apple charged people who bought a season pass twice. So in other words, it came in those 8-show chunks,
right?
Because
it was five half seasons. Yeah, those half seasons drive me nuts.
Yeah, it's cool though. They sent out vouchers
so
and said
the whole thing for free, not just hey, we're sorry we screwed up. We're going to refund one of your payments, so you're still paying for that season.
Well, wow. I assume so because I've been buying them individually, not season packs, and they sent me a code to get the whole thing vouched out. So I don't know what's going on there.
Fantastic, jeez.
Finally, Bill Nye, science guy.
He's the science guy, right?
Not Bill Nye, the movie man.
Nye,
or whatever. Injured. He was injured during the Dancing with the Stars performance and may need surgery. It's his knee. He got hurt his knee. So, and his ego. And he's feeling pretty good about it scientifically. So there you have it.
Now, here's an interesting thing. He actually has a patent on a ballet slipper that puts less stress on ballet dancers' toes. Like, this is a complete and total thing. He did this years ago.
Weird.
I guess he had done an episode of his show about ballet dancers and, you know, kind of the black swan thing with the how their feet get all bloody because of standing on their toes, on their tiptoes.
Yeah.
And figured out a way to make a shoe that supports the muscles a little bit better.
Crazy.
And so he's actually got a patent. It's really weird.
Now he needs to work on a knee one so he can quit hurting his knees.
Exactly. I'm sure while he's laid up in the hospital for a little while, I'm sure he'll come up with something. No.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, good luck to him, and good luck to all of you trying to save money on other branded earbuds. I'll tell you what, Tweaked Audio has the best deal ever. 33% off a brand new pair of fantastic earbuds designed to sound great no matter what you're playing. Get your music, you get your techno, you get your people playing techno but think it's called dubstep, and it shouldn't be because dubstep isn't necessarily techno. You know what I'm saying? noise reduction, all that stuff. Lifetime warranty. Check them out, tweakedaudio.com, and the code STREAM for 33% off. That's STREAM for 33% off. Brian, let's take a break.
Okay.
We got Nicole and Tom when we come back. In the meantime, some sort of song, I suppose.
Yes. Well, this one is going out to Randron and Thite, otherwise known as Jack and Rainbow. Mm. Dear Satire and Pita Bread, we are writing a special request and dedication to our virtual best friend of many years on his birthday. Having met in the Molten Core days, we have nearly spent every day since emailing, chatting, texting, and emoting everything on our minds, and we would like to tell him how much we appreciate him, his humor, and friendship. He has long been a huge fan of Frog Pants and attended Nerdtacular 2012, and we'd love to hear an a cappella version of Party in the USA in celebration. Thanks to Kevin, aka Kev MS, K-E-V-M-S. Love the show, though. Your friends Jack, aka Randron, and Rainbow, aka Thite.
Wow, a lot of AKAs going. A
lot of AKAs and fake names.
Up. I got the right song in my head, right? It's like, Party in the USA.
And yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah. Right. Speaking of Miley and her infinite tongue.
Right. Miley and her infinite tongue. Now someone needs to make that movie. Spike Jones, get on that. Miley
Nick
and the Nora's
infinite tongue.
Yeah, Nick and Nora's infinite. Ooh, okay. Sounds good.
It actually sounds a little worse than it is.
Yeah, it is. Cool. So you have something like that.
What's that?
You have a song just like the one they've asked for.
Oh, I have exactly the song that they've asked for. You know, it's funny. I was waiting for you to play it. Here it is. This is by UCLA's all-female a cappella group. I don't know what made me think to not actually introduce the song
itself.
That's
all right.
This is Party in the USA, originally by Miley Cyrus, by the UCLA signature a cappella from their 2006 album, Take Flight.
Guess who it was originally written by. Do you want to know?
Oh, no. Who originally wrote it?
Right here.
Putin.
Putin.
Oh.
Putin, did you know?
Putin in the USA, and then they changed the lyrics.
That's right. It was Putin in the USSR.
Know, I put my hands up, and they're playing my song. The butterflies, of course, represent the leopard.
We'd like to party. We'd like to dance with Miley. All right, here it is. Party in the USA. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
George and Joe.
Hopped off the plane at LAX with my dream and my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame access. Am I gonna fit in? Jump to the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy. Everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. It's when the taxi man turned on the radio. In a taxi cab, everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick who's rocking kicks? Gotta be from out of town. So why were my girls not around me? Definitely not an Enville party. Cause all I see are stilettos. I guess I never got the memo. My tummy's is turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. And when the DJ dropped my favorite tune and a Britney song was on. And a Britney song was on. And a Britney.
Salem gives you a modern filter, plus rich tobacco taste, smoothed with menthol, softened with fresh air. For Salem's special paper breathes in fresh air with every puff to bring you Salem's air-softened taste.
There's a wonderful world of softness, a wonderful world of freshness. It's the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful world of Salem cigarettes.
Salem softness freshens your taste.
What does the fox say?
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting. Looking for a come up. This is the Morning Stream.
Fletcher was so street in that.
Jeez. He was, yes.
Okay, two things.
Yeah.
One, I like that song way more than I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
It gets me going. So, whatever. I'm guilty pleasure, all right?
Sure.
I like it.
Confession
right there. Secondly, I'm never playing that ring-a-ding-ding thing again, ever again. I won't do it to people. I can't do it to people. That's so bad. It's so bad. It's such a meme sandwich. It's just gross.
Ugh. It is. Yeah.
All right. Guess what it is, everyone? It's time for us to call our good friend, fellow podcaster extraordinaire, mm-hmm. one of our female guests, which we don't mm-hmm. have near enough of these days, Lady Nicole Spag. Let's see if we can get her on the line. Talk about movies and stuff. Here's your little thingy right here. Can't find it. Where to go? I don't know. Oh, here it is. Hey, everyone. Welcome, Nicole Spag, to the show. Hi, Nicole.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Oh, that's great. You sound so chipper this morning.
I got to sleep till 6 o'clock.
Yes. Whoa, what nice. The heck? So how is the boy sleeping? He's sleeping, yeah?
Yeah, he just wakes up pretty damn early, so that's that. And
it's a big, exciting world for him. He wants to get out there and make some noise, you know?
Or just make my life hell because I'm not a morning person.
That's true.
There's that too.
Yeah. It's good to, I love watching vicariously him grow up and watching him, you know, go from baby to walking to making that weird laugh to post ear stuff to helping his dad in the shop. Like, this stuff's fun to watch. So keep that coming.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's honestly, it's for, when I put stuff out there, it's usually because I have a lot of family mm-hmm. that live far away. So I'm thinking of them and I'm like, I really hope I'm not annoying people that are following me.
I get it.
You know, your kid is the kid of, you know, of your world. So everything is so much more cuter. And I hope I'm not delusioned to think that I have like a little monster baby and everybody's like, oh, they're there, Nicole.
I had somebody unfollow me once because they said it was because I put too many pictures of my kids up and I was talking about them too much. That I was too fond of my family. He couldn't take it. I'm trying to think of one guy I would miss less than that guy
right,
to follow me.
Exactly.
Who gives two shits what he thinks. So don't worry about those people.
I know.
Here's what we'd say to him.
Bleep you.
All right, Nicole, it's good to have you back and talking about movies and stuff. And I really like this idea that you've been doing not real movies, but movies in the theater and then a couple mm-hmm. of streamers. So like steamers.
Steamers.
maybe they are today. I don't know. But so what do you got this week? What are you doing?
Unfortunately, we weren't able to get to the theater because our babysitter's been out of town for 2 weeks. So,
but you did see something. Like there was a picture of you guys at some concert or a stage thing.
Oh, we went to a comedy show. We went to see Fly to the Conchords.
Yeah.
And it was Fly to the Conchords and Dave Chappelle headlining.
Oh, I love Dave Chappelle.
And then they had a huge, there was like 6 comedians. And Jeffrey Ross, who's the roast master for the Comedy Central roast, like he emceed the whole thing and he roasted Mark and myself.
Oh, no way, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Because we were in the second row and we went and got a couple of Flight of Conchord t-shirts and we came in right when he was talking. He's like, hey, man, nice for you to join us. Yeah.
They love people. They love couples too when they do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they, they focused on us, and then he was messing with Mark. He was trying to mess with him on his t-shirt because I got him a Foo Fighters t-shirt, and he's like, what's this, FF? He's like, oh, it's Foo Fighters. He can't really say anything bad about that.
I'm not thinking, you know what I was just thinking? You said Dave Chappelle, who I do like, but I was thinking, I thought he was done with comedy. That's interesting. He's touring again.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle's the one that had the breakdown, turned down $50 million a few years back.
Left the country for a while and all that stuff. I like Dave Chappelle. I was thinking of Dave. Oh, who's the other guy?
Attell?
Yes, Dave Attell is who I was thinking of, who I also really like, but not for the kids. Anyway, that's great.
The midnight thing or the overnight thing.
Dave Attell Up All Night, was it called?
Up All Night. Yeah, I
think Up All Night. Yeah, that's a funny show.
His stand-up is super dirty, but man, that guy's funny.
The whole show was really super dirty, and it was awesome. And Fly the Conchords was awesome. Yeah. And apparently, I look like what's that?
Anybody call him Brit real loud on the stage?
They did sing "Too Many Dicks on the Dance Floor," which was hilarious.
Really?
Oh, I think that song is.
Did you
hilarious.
Get? There's no Murray in that show, right? They don't bring Murray out.
No, it's just them as a band.
That's too bad because I like Murray.
Yeah, but apparently, Mark and I look like we met at Christian Mingles. that was my roast.
Wow. I can see that. They don't know, though. I played Call of Duty with you at night. I know what's going on. There ain't no Christian Mingle going on anywhere, though.
No, I didn't really have... you're not supposed to talk back, but I'm like, we're atheists.
Yeah, damn, we're atheists. We think Apollo did it, okay? All right. So, all right, well, so streamers only today. That's fine.
Yeah, so, and honestly, I don't know if Tom is available. This is all because of him.
Really?
I asked Tom to give me a theme quite a while back, because it's taken me a little while to get through his theme suggestion. Mm. But yeah, this is all because of Tom.
That's all Tom's theme.
He's in the tadpole.
Is he in there? Maybe we can add him.
If you want to pull Tom in.
Ace Tech, you interested? Okay, we're bringing him in. Let's bring him in. Let's see if we can get him. It never hurts. We're going to cross the streams. Speaking of streams.
Yeah.
Cross him right over. All right. So while his little yellow or white lights go up his face. Oh, there he is. Tom Merritt. Hi. Hello.
Oh, crap.
Oh, there you are. There you are.
that's podcaster for. Oh wait, wrong mic.
Oh yeah, whoops. Headphones are off or something like that. You there, Tom?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. How you doing, man?
Yeah, he's here.
I have my Crest White strip stand still. Hold on.
Oh. Tom.
While he's doing that, I'll
let me put in my teeth.
Do those work? Those white strips. Just a side note, they work.
You know,
right?
In an upcoming episode of It's a Thing, I will explain how I was surprised. I've always mocked these things. They actually do kind of work.
Do they really? Okay, maybe I need to do that. Do they make your teeth hurt at all? Like later, like chemical burn?
Not mine.
Okay, all right.
How long do you have to keep them in? Like, is it a?
You can get 5-minute ones.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
This could be a stealth.
Hey, I'm sorry to hijack.
No.
This could be like a stealth. It'd be a stealth commercial for Crest
White
Strips.
This is our technology segment right here.
I like it. All right. So Tom gave you a theme. What was the theme?
Yeah, it was a few months ago, right, Tom? You gave me the theme of Philadelphia.
Right. Yeah, because that was right when I started watching It's Always Sunny,
which is the first recommendation. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's streaming on Netflix, not on Amazon Prime. So you can watch it for free on Netflix streaming right now. And I've watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia kind of sporadically.
Yeah.
And I've laughed. Some of my hardest laughs have been with episodes from the show. And the very first episode is titled "The Gang Gets Racist." And it has Lem from Better Off Ted in it.
Oh, great.
I love Lem.
Yeah, that's great. I love those kind of crossovers.
And I'm curious, how many seasons are you into, Tom? Because there's seven seasons.
I think, the one I'm watching was 2010. So I think that's season 5 or 6 now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Danny DeVito joins 6. The cast in year 2. And apparently, I haven't researched this, but apparently he just liked the show and approached them and was like, hey, your show is really funny.
I've got nothing to do. Can I come on?
Right, yeah.
My favorite episode is in season 7, and it's... Episode 5, Frank's Brother. The opening sequence to that episode with Danny DeVito, he is so freaking disgusting in this. And it involves meats and cheeses and Danny DeVito, and you just got to watch it. It's like the first, even if you don't watch the whole show, just Find Frank's Brother episode and watch that first bit.
I'm not trying to be pejorative here, but I have a feeling that much of Danny DeVito's life involves meats and cheeses. That's all I'm saying.
I love the episode where he's eating sausages out of his pockets so that he doesn't have to get his hands greasy.
That is my, by the way, side note, my wife's favorite show is It's Always Funny in Philadelphia. She loves that show. She thinks it's the
It is always funny.
Or what I say, funny? It's always sunny. That's what I meant. It's always funny in Philadelphia. Great. I like this first recommendation. If people aren't watching it, they should catch up. It's awesome. It's hilarious. So, and Justin Robert Young plays Charlie in there. He's really good at it.
It's weird.
Pretty much Justin Robert Young's on-air persona.
It really is him. And it freaks me out every time. And his voice and his look and his style and everything. So take that.
Scott!
That was a pretty good Charlie impression there. All right.
Horde side.
Oh, Tom said horde side. All right, Nicole, bad to number two. What do we got?
So the next one Tom recommended that was actually streaming is an older film that I've heard of and I've never seen. The 1984 film, The Philadelphia Experiment.
Oh, yeah. Wow. We just watched this for Film Sack.
Did you watch this for Film Sack? Yeah. Because it is very sackable. What? I can't believe I made it through it, though I did fast forward. Yeah.
85, I think, was it?
84.
Yeah.
And it's about, it has Eddie from Eddie and the Cruisers. Mm. That's how I know him.
That's right. Well. That's right. We may have failed to mention that on the show, actually, when
I
we
think
covered
we did,
it.
Yeah. Oh,
we didn't. We hated it, but we kind of, there was something about it. I think, if I remember, the consensus was really cool idea, pretty bad execution.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So, Tom, I'm curious what your memory.
That's a movie that rides entirely on its concept. Mm. Like it says, we've got a good concept. We don't have to put any extra energy into making it good. We're just going to ride that concept as far as it'll go.
Yeah. We don't need any acting. That's fine. No acting. Yeah. Right.
And, no reason to waste any money on that.
No special effects per se, really. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if a battleship time traveled? All right, let's just go with that.
Let's just go with that one. That's it. I did like how one guy was trapped inside the ship, like his arm was sticking out of it. Do you remember that?
No, yeah.
That was pretty fantastic. All right, Nicole, for some reason, has Skyped out of the universe, and we're calling her back now.
She's so upset.
There
about
she
the
is.
Sorry.
Sorry. It's always, the power's always out in Philadelphia, is what all this. All right.
Where did I drop off?
Tom just was just talking about what he thought about that movie and thought it was just as poopy as we did. So there you go.
Did you watch it when it was released in 84?
I didn't.
No, didn't even hear about it then.
Because I have a feeling in 84 this would have been like, whoa, this is kind of cool concept. It's, sci-fi and futuristic, though it's very unlikely. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to give a spoiler. Spoiler.
Yeah.
Why would he stay? This girl... Seriously.
What you missed is that I told Scott, like, this is a movie that decides that all it needed was the great concept and didn't waste any energy on anything else, including acting or plot or effects or anything. Yeah.
I do like that they landed in the Salt Lake, the Great Salt Lake. That I always like the Utah connections. Like, that's a big deal to me, and there's points always for that. But concept and that do not a good movie make.
It was just silly.
Yeah. Maybe they should remake that. That's all I'm saying.
That would be a good remake.
Sure.
Don't make it a day and you fall in love with a girl that changes your entire life. That doesn't make any sense.
Only girls think of that. That's a girl thing. We were too busy going, don't make a control room that's full of stupid looking lights that you can break with a hammer too. Either. Right. That's what we thought about.
Oh, they're like vacuum tubes.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Like a little floating plastic city.
Old 84, right?
Oh, yeah, the city was great. All right, so there's number two. What do you got for number three?
All right, so it's really difficult to find anything dealing with Philadelphia that is streaming. Those are the only two that I could really find and watch.
Not the Tom Hanks movie Philadelphia? That wasn't showing.
That's not streaming, no. But there are a lot of movies and shows that either are filmed in or take place in Pennsylvania. So I thought, okay, I can't get to Philadelphia, so I'm going to get close.
All right.
There was no Rocky movies streaming. Huh?
No.
No Rocky movies.
Cream cheese documentary or something?
No.
So instead, I'm going to give you a film that takes place in a Pittsburgh suburb.
All right.
And it is a Kevin Smith film. It's the second of of Kevin Smith's film that actually take place outside of New Jersey, because he's notorious for putting all of his movies in New Jersey in that kind of U-askew universe.
Yeah, he's like the Stephen King of New Jersey.
Just right.
Everything has to be in this town I grew up in. Yeah.
So his right. first film was Jersey Girl, that was ironically not in New Jersey. And his second film is the one I'm recommending, which is a great film. It's called Zach and Mira Make a Porno.
Oh, I've heard mixed things on this. So
it's weird. It's Seth Rogen, Elizabeth Banks. They're platonic friends. They're in debt. And they decide, hey, we could make a porno and make a ton of money. Doesn't everybody think that? Yeah.
Sure.
So it is their adventure through the process of making a porno, and they actually do make a porno.
Wow.
And it's funny and gross, and it's actually sweet and weird.
That sounds like a Kevin Smith mark. Like, that's what he does. He's there to gross you out, and in the end, there's a weird sweetness to some of what he does.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a dialogue. I mean, is it a dialogue piece? I haven't seen the film, but I know a lot of his other things, kind of like Tarantino. They're great stretches of fantastic dialogue, and then the plot of the story to kind of hold everything together.
Yeah.
I didn't have any moments of dialogue in this one.
Really? Is Randall in it from Clerks? Because he's my favorite thing about anything Kevin Smith ever did, and he's not in near enough things now.
Oh, wait a minute. Jason Mewes is.
Yeah, Jason Mewes. He's what's his name?
He's Craig Robinson. I love Craig Robinson.
Yeah. Brian.
Tracy Lords.
Halloran. Brian O'Halloran.
Brian Halloran. Looks like a guy that should be selling me a cell phone in a mall kiosk.
Right.
All right. Well, good. Well, there it is.
I have good news for you, Nicole.
What?
There's a remake of the Philadelphia Experiment from 2012. Muzzy found it and put the link in the chat room.
What?
Starring the great Nicholas Leia, lead singer of Beaumont, in the lead role of Bill Gardner. And a cameo appearance by Malcolm McDowell as Morton Salinger.
How did we miss the... Oh, you know what? That's made for TV, isn't it? Wasn't it a made for TV thing?
It was made for something that wasn't a theater. I don't know why.
It was made for something that wasn't mainstream.
It was made for PSP is what it was made for.
Exactly. Yeah. Streaming now for free on your PSP.
And it's got Michael Paré in it as well.
Wow. What's he doing these days? I guess that's what he's doing. Well, fantastic. Nicole, always a pleasure to hang out. Thanks so much for this. Do you have a new theme? Or do you need anything before we send you on your way for a new theme?
A new theme. I still have the one from you, but I'm holding that for October.
Okay. It's the Halloween one, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the found footage one, which I'm still kind of...
Come on, Nicole. It's Halloween. You got to take one for the team. You got to take a bullet.
Cucathon is what she's going to be going for.
Well, let us know how it goes. It's Nicole Spag on Twitter. And, of course, Final Score Show, ladiesofleet.com, all kinds of cool stuff. Recommentals.com. What else? Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, I like
she
all
can
those.
Stick around, by the way.
Do you want to stay for tech news?
Oh, did I get to?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, you get to hijack. Did we? And did we already hit you guys? We already hit you guys both up for confessions last week, didn't we?
I
think we did.
Well, Tom wasn't here. Like
mine, but yeah.
Yeah. Tom was here. Oh, yeah.
Are you doing this every week?
No.
We just want to make sure we didn't miss anybody. That we didn't.
How many confessions do you think I have?
Good priest. Father Ibbot.
Father Ibbot.
That's right.
So, switching gears now. Here, let's play this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question has been sitting here the whole time. It's Tom Merritt. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, it's as if we've never spoken before until now.
Wait, you know what? Today's tech news has to do with the Amazon Kindle, the new Kindles, which involves some streaming video. It would be great if we could get Nicole from the recommendal spot to join us.
Interesting. Well, let's find out. Here, let me beep, 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 beep. Oh, wait. I think we have her on the line now. Nicole, how's it going?
Hey, guys.
Hey, great.
How are you?
Yeah, this is all seamless since I'm not editing any of it.
What a surprise.
So Tom comes on, we talk about tech, you guys are prepping for big stories on the on ye old TNT. What's driving everybody crazy today, because there's always something out there?
What's interesting about this is that Jeff Bezos announced new Kindles yesterday evening by inviting people over. Like, he didn't do a big press release. I know this because Andy Anatko had sent us an email a couple days ago saying, I can't tell you who and I can't tell you what, but I'm doing an NDA thing tomorrow, or Monday evening. or Tuesday evening, and it might be big. I'll let you know. Maybe we'll do breaking news. Turns out he is like, eh, I don't think this is big enough for breaking news. But he apparently Bezos just, you know, met with a bunch of reporters individually, gave interviews, and showed off the new Kindles. They're the Kindle HDX. So their big thing is like, it's even better than HD. It's just a big, a high resolution screen, you know, lots of pixels per inch.
Sure.
Nice looking screen.
Yeah.
But they come with this feature called Mayday, which is video chat with tech support.
Oh, weird.
So you go into settings, you click the Mayday button, and they say any time of day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there will be a live person show up in a little picture window that'll help you with your Kindle.
Calling himself with Jerry, but he's really called Habib.
Within 15 seconds. Okay. Within 15 seconds. I can't wait to see how this works on Christmas morning, by the way.
I can't wait to see how it works when somebody's thinking they're going to like call for an emergency. I can't get up.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I think it's a life alert. The new life alert HD from Amazon.
Amazon Star on your Kindle.
Help provide 911 services.
So wait, but this is just through this new HDX thing unit, right?
Right.
Okay.
This is well, you know what? That's a good question. There is a new Kindle Fire HD. It's just a new body and a new processor. Otherwise, it's pretty much the same. And they knocked $50 off the price. Now $139. These new Kindle HDXs are the ones that they were touting as having Mayday. $329 for the LTE version 7-inch. $479 for the LTE version 8.9-inch. $100 less for the Wi-Fi only versions. And they also threw in, this is why I thought Nicole might be interested, offline viewing of Amazon Instant Prime content.
Wow. How do you do that? Downloads, I guess?
Big download, so, yeah.
You apparently do have to have the HD, the Kindle device to do this. But you can say, hey, I want to watch this thing that's streaming on Amazon Instant Prime, but I'm going to be on an airplane. Save it. And with limited amount of titles,
right,
they will allow you to save it.
Right.
See, that's the problem. They already have a limited amount of titles.
I know. So with an even more limited amount of titles.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
I can watch the Philadelphia.
The Venn diagram is shrinking as we speak.
Let me ask this question about this. And this is more, you know, I like to ask the more philosophical, esoteric question about the thing you're talking about.
42.
This thing with him inviting some reporters over to have these one-on-ones, as opposed to getting on a stage and pulling out all the Steve Jobs normalcy and doing that, right? Like they usually do. Like everybody mostly does. Like the Surface 2 announcement and like, you know, anytime Apple gets up and now anytime Google does their I.O. conference. It's kind of the norm now to see that sort of thing happen. By him doing that, like I feel like Bezos is the guy to keep your eye on because by him doing that, I feel like it's him saying, we know that this is not that big of a deal. Like it's a kind of a big deal. It's a new product. It's exciting. It's this and that. They're price reductions. It's exciting on its on whatever merit it has, but no pun intended. But we're gonna go ahead and put it out there in a way that is understated. And therefore we're gonna be in all the blogs, all the news stories, all the talk tomorrow because A of how we did it and B, it is kind of a big deal and people are gonna be surprised that we didn't make a bigger deal out of it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, would Apple benefit once in a while from not getting Tim Cook up there and going, well, let's first look at how many devices we've sold. You know, the cookie cutter way of how many stores are now opening and and doing that whole rigmarole they always do and then getting to a phone that, while neat and cool and it's this year's upgrade and all of that, is maybe not worth a giant televised event. Maybe they are more quiet about some of these releases and having people go, oh, my, look what they've done. And they did it in the dark of night. Like, do you feel like Bezos, or am I reading too much into it, or do you think he's being real strategic here and it makes a lot of sense?
I think what Amazon maybe gambled on was if we get Bezos up there in front of everybody, everybody's going to make a big deal. Oh, Amazon's got an announcement and there's going to be all these rumors and then things are going to leak out because everybody's going to start looking around and poking around about what is it going to be. And then it will work against us. It won't. People will be let down. They'll say, that's it. Well, I heard about that in the TechCrunch leak 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. This way, they kept it easily secret. Right. None of this stuff leaked out ahead of time, as far as I know. And instead of being disappointed, everybody says, huh, look at that. Okay, some new Kindles. You know, the specs are better. There's, you know, but that Mayday feature, that's pretty nifty. Check that out.
Right.
So suddenly you've got a lot of reporters really excited about this new feature instead of them saying like, one of the cool new features was Mayday, but overall it was a disappointing announcement.
Sure. And that seems to make sense to me. Now,
and that's how reporters talk.
I'm really excited for what Mayday does on, like you said, Christmas Day.
How many? Hazel says that they've got enough staff. Well, okay. That's,
wow.
Yeah.
And they think, and how, what was the guaranteed response time? It was some
15 seconds.
Good yeah. Lord. How is this
no
possible?
No more than 15 seconds.
Because how many old or dumb people or hackery people that just want to dink around with you? How many schwoods are out there trying to go, hey, how about we scam a few people?
Let's game the system.
Yeah,
right?
Let's game the system.
Let's all call on our kid. Well, how many people
like
are going
to order pizza, please?
Just to scam the Mayday feature, though. I mean, there's a limiting factor there.
Sure, I guess so. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see it. And of course, this and all other techery can be heard today on Tech News Today, twitlive.tv, as always. Leo still out of town. You guys are still holding down the fart.
He's like only halfway through his vacation.
Good
so
Lord.
I'll be hosting security now today as well, right after TNT.
Yep. I always know when Tom's using his Crest White strips is when he's taking over a lot of the TV, the FaceTime on Twitter.
But he's looking good.
He is looking good. The handsomest man in all of podcasting, ladies and gentlemen. Ace Detect is where you want to go. Stay tuned soon for new Autopilot episodes. I'm excited about that.
Ooh.
Yeah. What else is going on?
I wrote a book. I wrote a novel, which, you know, it's probably, I think it's one of the better ones I've ever written. As you know, I don't think I'm that great of an author, but it's kind of a fun story. And it's got an amazing cover. Buy it just for the freaking cover, because the cover kicks ass.
Yeah, it's
Scott, you knocked me out with that cover. Like, I know you do good stuff, and I was not going to be disappointed. But when you sent that to me, I'm like, damn, this thing looks like a real book.
Yeah.
This looks like an awesome, like, retro. You'd definitely find this on shelves in Barnes & Noble.
Well, you're so far too kind about that. And here's what I would say as what made that cover work, I think, was you. People don't often approach. I mean, they know what I do best or what I do most, so they come to me with that in mind. But you came to me with a science fiction dystopic novel about something very different than what I normally do. And I love those chances to sort of stretch and go in a different direction. So it gave me this opportunity to get real serious, get real graphic, you know, get real different than I usually do. So props to you for, you know, for inspiring, you know, that different side of what I do. So there you go.
Well, thanks, man.
And the book's awesome. People should get it.
Yeah. I mean, you can buy the merrittbooks.squarespace.com is where I keep all my books. You know, if you want to look at it, you should just sell the cover.
Just do. We ought to do prints. We'll talk about
that.
Yeah,
you can do that.
Yeah, totally. There's no reason why we couldn't. So maybe watch for those coming soon. And Tom, it's Ace Detect on Twitter. So all the things he does, including his great writing and whatnot, they could be found there as well. Tom, Nicole, you guys take it easy now.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye. All right. They're gone. Phew, they're gone. Just kidding. I love those guys. They're the greatest, Brian.
They are the greatest. Daryl says, when three people are on at once, Coverville is put on the shelf during that time. No, I take a step back because I don't want to. It gets so easy to talk over people. And then then you get the talk over thing where it's like, go ahead.
I would argue that Brian is a pro and knows exactly what to do and when to do it at all times.
Exactly.
So
thank you.
Chalk that up to that.
Boom.
Take that. Boom is right. All right. Emails. They're brought to us by today.
Now I got to scroll up. Emails are brought to you by Another Way Around Life and Gaming Podcast Deluxe. Visit awaycast.com to experience video commentary, live streams, interviews, and of course, the Awaycast weekly podcast. The Awaycast runs regular contests with loot The Awaycast runs regular contests with loot giveaways that will keep you humored and enlightened in both life and gaming. Go to awaycast.com.
I transferred my personality to you for a brief minute.
What I need to do is the Awaycast runs regular. What? The Awaycast runs.
Yeah, I need to say what.
What?
As if someone's talking to you. Hey, Scott and Brian, says Darren, who wrote in and says, I'm Darren from Goose Creek, South Carolina. Just a suggestion on your recipes, which were amazing to listen to. He's talking about my crappy eggs.
Oh, your
and
weird
all
egg. Yeah, right.
He says once a week you should do a quick one-minute recipe in vain of the one-minute movie reviews. I think he means in place of that.
In the vein. Yeah, in the
vein of.
Yeah.
That way, it doesn't cramp you for time, and you could post your recipes on the TMS website. I think it'd be entertaining for the fans and a cool addition. Keep up the great work. So, I have an idea, and I don't know if I'm doing it yet or not, but I have this idea that takes it a little bit further. Kim thinks I should write an entire cookbook with all my crap recipes in it.
Do you have enough recipes to fill a cookbook?
I think I do. It would be a small book. It wouldn't be a huge book by any means, but it'd be a bunch of artwork in there.
It'd be a booklet. It would be
It would be a pamphlet.
Yeah, and it would be...
Scott Johnson cooking pamphlet.
It probably would be. Maybe even saddle-stitched or something. Kind of a smaller comic book size thing. But it would have a whole bunch of artwork in there that I would do specifically for this. And it has merit. Let's just say that. It has a little Tom merit in there.
Second time you've used that
I got to quit throwing that word out. Yeah, I got to stop it. it's too hard when your friend has a name like merit.
Cleo says that she's added that section to the TMS cookbook, the Scott Johnson cooking.
Oh, has she?
Section, yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Well, we'll see. We'll see which one sells better. Just kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke, everybody. It's a joke. Walter wrote in, also known as WLG in the Chad pool. Walter.
He's the one who writes.
Yeah, he wrote. He wrote. Walter, the one that writes. Got it. Walter Wright.
I'm the one who writes. Yes.
Guys, it is spoilers, even when you talk around specific things, like you do all the time, he says. Just saying this, he says, just saying, quote, this isn't a spoiler, doesn't make it not a spoiler. Discussing events, characters, and timelines of the show, that's spoilers. Now, I don't say you shouldn't do it. I'm one of the listeners. What? It's on the listener. Sorry. It's on the. I did ask it. What?
You did do the what?
I didn't realize I do that. I do that, don't I?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I've never noticed till you pointed it out.
Love it.
He says,
don't ever change, by the way.
It is on the listener to a great extent to see the things and avoid spoilers, but you are talking spoilers. You just are, and I love it. I really do. It's funnier when you try not to spoil things than when you talk about stuff straight out. Keep up the great work, Walter. All right, Walter White. I thought it was ironic since he's talking about all our talk about Breaking Bad.
That is funny, yeah.
I still feel like you can be vague. If people haven't seen a thing and I say the ATM machine and Jesse Pinkman, that doesn't give anything away. At all. No. You'd have to see it in context. And in fact, I think I've enhanced your enjoyment because you're going to go watch that episode and go, oh my gosh, that's what he's talking about.
Oh my God. Yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, we talk about spoilers all the time on the show here. And I think that we never really talk that there are varying degrees. You know, just the fact that we say, just saying Jesse Pinkman in the ATM machine lets somebody know that, okay, well, Jesse Pinkman, you know, if you think Jesse Pinkman's going to die at the end of this episode, you haven't seen an ATM machine, so you know he doesn't. You know what I'm saying?
Good point.
Like, just the fact that you have not yet seen the ATM machine and it's in reference to Jesse Pinkman, that means that the two will have a connection later on.
Right. That's exactly right.
But that's like a, you know, that's like a level one. That's a threat level pink spoiler.
We're at DEFCON 1.
DEFCON 1. Yep. And I think it's probably, thanks to Game of Thrones, I think you can say that the top level spoiler is red.
Yeah, I agree with you. Totally agree. So what you're saying, hold on now, you're suggesting that in life there are many variations and shades of gray and degrees.
There are no black and white. Definitives.
There's no absolutes then, is what you're telling me then.
I'm saying that there are degrees. Yeah.
Interesting. I think we can apply this to everything. All right. This is my mantra in life. If I go down, if I die, here's what I want on my tombstone. I want it to say, there are no absolutes. That's what I want it to say. Because I'm a big fan of understanding the minutia and getting into the middle bits, you know, because there's too much of it. And this society we live in today, here I go, soapbox. The society we live in today wants to sum everything up in 140 characters or less and have that be definitive truth.
Keep going.
I'm done. I don't have any more in me. That's good. I didn't have breakfast.
What was the quote that Randy Jordan wanted you to play on TMS anytime we had like a...
What was it?
It was from Footloose. It was one of the... Do you still have your Footloose
I do.
Clips?
Let's see. Was it...
Oh, shit, mister, where are you?
No, it's not that.
No.
Where did you hear that?
No.
Where did you...
That's a good one, though.
That is a good one.
Yeah. No.
Why don't you have some cake?
No. Was it this?
You're so stupid.
No.
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 What the hell is that?
That's not that. Which one is it?
Burning hell. This says burning hell.
Not that one. Was it jump back?
Jump back.
It's not jump back.
Don't you talk like that in here!
I don't know.
I wonder what it was. Okay.
I have others, but I don't know which one. We'll have to. He listens. Randy, write in. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what I'm supposed to say.
Send an email in.
Yeah,
you send it. Get hold of us.
The Morning Stream at gmail.com. Very good. All right. I was just there, so I had to play it. Get out of here. I do want to thank everybody for participating in today's show. Thank you, everyone who came on, everyone who listened, both live and on hard drive. You guys are all fantastic. We don't do this show without you. Tomorrow, Therapy Thursday, Wendy will be back. We missed it last week, so we're excited to get her back on here and talk some of that. Oh, gosh, what else? Go to the website, frogpants.com/TMS. Links to everything that we care about are there. You can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter, morningstream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. That's morningstream without the that's important. Mm-hmm. Follow us. Yeah, tell your friends. Yeah, tell your friends.
Mess everything up.
I am doing a contest people should know about. If you go to frogpants.com/contest, you can enter to win a drawing of your favorite superhero, a doodle, basically. And I will, if you win and I pick you and I draw yours, I will send you a free 4x6 print, color print of the finished piece. So enter to win. Twitter people are already in there, but I'm pulling them at random. So you have just as much chance to win if you haven't already entered. That's at frogpants.com/contest. That's it, Brian.
I think we need an audio contest soon. Let's agree, you and I talk.
Video, audio, something. We need something.
Audio, something that we can play on the show. So we'll talk. You and I will talk.
Okay. Your ideas. You always have good ones. So let's do that. In the meantime, let's play a song and serenade these fine folks who have paid so much money to be here.
Brad Rothwell wrote in, said, "Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Brian. Good morning, good morning. First, the necessaries. He really says the necessaries.
Okay.
Love the show, obviously. If I was introduced to the Frog Pants, that was an exclamation point, not an if. I was introduced to the Frog Pants Network via FilmSack a few years ago and quickly expanded my horizons with the Morning Stream, Coverville, and a handful of other wonderful podcasts that are so real, it's like I'm there. Also, thanks again, Scott, for the wonderful free Comic Book Day illustration. I've introduced my wife and a few friends to the Frog Pants family, and I'm trying really hard to sell everyone on a trip to Nerdtacular 2014.
Yeah.
Second, the request. My wife and I are expecting our first son shortly. She's technically due on September 22nd, but the C-section is scheduled for the 26th. So right now we're right in the middle, right there.
Okay.
There's some additional drama involved as we discovered she has a very rare bone marrow mutation that's a minor form of leukemia. It's a long story, but more importantly, we're really excited that soon we'll be able to sit down with our new son and tuck him in with solid old school Spider-Man issue. I'd love to celebrate the occasion with a perfect song, and I submit completely to the recommendations of the Frog Pants elders. Brian, if you could pick just the right song to give me the final push into fatherhood, I'd be exceedingly in your debt. I have been and shall always be a loyal listener. Thanks, guys. Bonus request. It's been a while since we've heard the Third Eagle, and my favorite quote was always "Lives Among the Beasts" line. If you could find it in your heart to give this one a jingle, that'd be doubly awesome. Brad Rothwell.
Sounds good.
Do you have that handy?
I think I do. Hold on. Oh, do I? Wait, give me the title again.
Lives among the beasts. So do a search for beasts. I'll bet it'll be in there.
Why do I not have that? Lives. Oh, maybe I put grass. Oh, I'm in the wrong. It's because we're in the film sec thing still. Like, why is that not showing up? Here it is.
He lives among the beasts and eats grass.
It's still good.
It is great. All right. So, Brad, you sound like you guys are going to be awesome parents. You're going to be a great dad. And I think there's no better way to exemplify that than by playing a song about a not so great dad. Okay. Shel Silverstein wrote the lyrics to this thing, and Johnny Cash turned it into a song. It's A Boy Named Sue. This one covered by Todd Snyder from the Twistable Turnable Man, a musical tribute to the songs of Johnny Cash. I'm sorry, to the songs of Shel Silverstein, I should say. And it's a great version of a song about a guy who is trying to get back at his daddy for an egregious error that he made in providing a name for said boy. It's A Boy Named Sue.
I had no idea this was Shel Silverstein, by the
way. Yeah, and when you hear it, after knowing that, when you hear it, you're going to be like, God, of course it's Shel Silverstein.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Right. Yep.
Anyway, so here it is. Sorry I interrupted you on your big...
No. Boy Named Sue by Todd Snyder, who I've seen in concert and is hilarious.
All right. I like it. All hail Putin. It started already. All hail Putin.
Putin.
And we'll see you guys tomorrow for a brand new episode of This Weirdness. Brian, thanks for a fantastic show.
Thank you, Scott Johnson.
Thank you, listeners. We'll see you tomorrow. Maybe. Okay.
Well, my dad. just three, and he didn't leave much to mourn me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now I can't blame him cause he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Now he must have thought it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from a lot of the folks. It seems that I had to fight my whole life through. Some guy would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. So I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard and my wits got keen as I'd roam from town to town to hide my shame. But I'd made me a vow to the moon and stars that I'd search the honky-tonks and bars, and I would kill the man that had given me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I'd just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew at an old saloon on a street of mud. There at a table, dealing studs, sat the dirty, mangy dog that had named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother'd had, and I knew that scar on his cheek and his evil eye. He was big and bent and gray and old, and I looked at him and my blood ran cold, and I said, my name is Sue. Do you do? Now you gon' die. Ha! That's what I told him. And then I hit him hard, right between the eyes, and he went down, but to my surprise, he come up with a knife and he cut off a piece of my ear. But then I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, a kicking and a gouging in the mud and the blood and the beer. I'll tell you, I fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss. He went for his gun, but I pulled mine first, and he just stood there looking at me, and I seen him smile. He said, son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he gotta be tough. And I knew that I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I gave you that name and I said goodbye, and I knew you'd either have to get tough or die. And it's that name that's always helped make you so strong. He said, you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me first before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in your eye, 'cause I'm the mangy son of a bitch that named you Sue. What could I do? I got all choked up and I threw down my gun. I called him my pa and he called me his son. And I came away with a different point of view. And I think about him now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I'm gonna name him Bill or Todd or any goddamn thing but Sue.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Oh, poo, that sounds hard.